another part of the story. Then one of the visiting men said to Abraham, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old. Can anybody relate? Advanced in age. Can anyone relate? It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah, what? Laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?' At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, I didn't laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, say it with me, "Oh yes, you did laugh. Oh yes, you did laugh." Well, let me ask you this morning, church, have you ever experienced strife in your family? Plans for your family that didn't pan out, didn't materialize or go the way you intended, and that created frustration and strife, maybe conflict with outsiders because they've, from your perspective, have been attacking your family, your spouse, your kids. Maybe it's strife that is rooted in opportunities that have been denied. Well, Abraham and Sarah experienced strife, right? They're just like us. They experienced strife. And so in Genesis chapter 15, in the first verse, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, 'Do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great.'" After these things, what things? Well, if you turn back to Genesis chapters 13 and 14, what you will find is a narrative of problems, serious problems, problems that were very threatening, problems that were disappointing, problems that fractured some of his family, and then he had to go and bail them out for the problems they got themselves into. After these things, strife, God comes, reveals himself to Abraham, and coaches him and says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Because strife begins to stir into the mix, the recipe, rising fear. And strife and fear are toxic to us, and we know that. And so after these things, God comes alongside Abraham and Sarah, the people that he has called to be in relationship with him, and says, "Hey, I know it's been rough. I know it's been rough, but don't be afraid." Now, we might paraphrase that today. God shows up and says to Abraham and Sarah, "I've got you now. I've got you now. I've got your future. I've got you. So don't be afraid." And I'm wondering, perhaps, if there's someone here this morning or someone who will hear this on tape next Sunday who needs to hear God speak to them amidst pandemics and fires and conspiracy theories and maybe stuff that is very personal to you. "I've got you. I've got you now. I've got your future. I have got you, your life. Don't be afraid. Now, Abraham's response. You would think maybe Abraham would say, oh God, how I needed to hear that. Man, thank you. I mean, after what you saw happen to me in Genesis chapters 13 and 14, God, thank you. I needed that word of encouragement. But that's not how Abram responds. I love the way the writer puts it. But, don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. But. And that is our lives, right? That's our lives sometimes. But wait a minute. But Abram said, well, oh Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless. You have given me no offspring. And this, you know, this is the God who said, count the stars, right? And this is the God who said, you're going to be the father of many nations. And Abram at this point is going, I'm looking at the landscape around me, and this just is not happening. And so Abraham says, look, I appreciate your encouragement. And that encouragement is interesting to me. I want to receive it. But, God, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with the reality that I see around me and trying to connect that with the words that you're speaking to me, and there's a disconnect. They're like oil and vinegar. I love this. I love what you're saying to me, but I'm just struggling. I am struggling. And friends, I love this story because this is my life. And I'll go out on a limb and say, I'll bet you it's been your life at times and in seasons where you're saying to God, I love your promises, but I'm looking at the reality. I'm looking at the landscape around me, and I'm just not seeing the reality that you're speaking to me about. And it's in our questioning, and questioning God, friends, it's all right. It's part of the stories of God's people. It's part of being in the family to say, God, can I ask you a question? And it's in our questioning, this invitation comes to us to struggle with God and ask questions of God. And this is part of being in relationship. It's part of being in the family with God. And I need to remind myself. I need to hear that again. But I also need to hear how God responds in the struggle of the questioning. Because what we hear in the story is God's invitation to count stars. I was in a phone call with Shar a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about the UP, her homeland. And I was remembering a time 3 years ago when I was up on the UP doing some hiking with a dear friend of mine, and in the night I'd go out on the shores of Lake Superior and there is no light pollution, and I saw stars like I have never seen them in decades. It was worshipful. And God invites Abram, look toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to count them. So shall your descendants be. So friends, amidst our questions, God invites us to comprehend the bigness of God. In the song, the video that we heard at the beginning of worship, you know, we're trying to count stars, and God is inviting us to see galaxies. God is inviting us to see a God who is so big that a pandemic and ravaging fires and coronavirus and conspiracy theories and all the stuff that's washing up on our shores, that in fact God is bigger and that God has us. I've got you. I've got your future. I've got this. Can you count the stars? Can you believe what seems to be unbelievable? The Apostle Paul must have been a student of Abraham and Sarah, because in Ephesians chapter 3, he writes, "Now to him," this is God, "now to God, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish," I love this, "abundantly more," say the rest with me, "than all we can ask or imagine." Do you have an imagination? I mean, I can dream big, and yet God is bigger. I can imagine a whole lot, and yet God is more expansive than my imagination. I can dream, "God, it would be so awesome if X, Y, and Z." And Paul reminds me, "Dan, your God is able to do abundantly more than your X, Y's, and Z's." This is the God who, amidst our questioning, says, "I'd like to invite you to step outside and count stars if you can, and to see that I am so much bigger than the landscape around you, and to believe what may appear to be unbelievable." Now, I think we can empathize with Abraham. And maybe we have done it ourselves, where we say, I'm sorry, that is just too much. That's just too much for me. I've been shot at too many times. I've been beaten up by life too many times. I've learned that, in the vernacular, life just sucks. Okay? And that's my theology. And so we end up saying, "God, I can't go there." And indeed, that's our sister Sarah. And in her story of laughter at what God is promising is an invitation to you and to me to laugh. That it's okay. Because this is part of being in the family. It's part of the questioning. And God responding, and we're like, good, but I'm sorry. I'm just going to turn away for a moment and put my mask on, and I'm going to snicker. I'm going to laugh, because that's just nuts. So Sarah laughed to herself, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The pleasure of what? The pleasure of experiencing a pregnancy, the experience of birth, the experience of a child. I stopped dreaming that dream long ago. And so she laughs, and in her laughter is an invitation for us to, yes, laugh and say, "God, I have no idea how you're going to be able to do that. And frankly, if I'm being straight up honest with you, at best, I'm just struggling that you're ever going to do it. And at worst, I'm sorry. I mean, it just isn't going to happen." And that's my sister, Sarah. Now, God's response to Sarah and to us when we laugh. Why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? There again is counting stars. There's the Apostle Paul, abundantly more. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? And our temptation, as we see in our sister Sarah, I didn't laugh. See, I had my mask on. I didn't laugh. You didn't see that. And God says, yes, you did. Yes, you did. Now, friends, I don't think that's a rebuke. I don't think God is, why did you laugh? I don't think God's angry with Sarah. I mean, come on. I think we might say, is there a challenge to trust there? All right. Certainly, the encouragement of faith, is anything too wonderful for our Lord? Do I need to hear that? Oh, yeah. In God's response, not a rebuke, but a challenge, an invitation, a cheerleading to faith, to trust in the one who can do more than we could ever dream, ask, or imagine. And 10 months later, Sarah has a boy. And his name is Isaac, and that name means laughter. And that's why I say, I don't think it was a rebuke. If it was a rebuke, I don't think Sarah would have called him Isaac, because it just would have reminded her of a rebuke from God. But she names him Laughter as a reminder to walk in faith, to walk in a trusting relationship, that this God that I am in family with is a God who is able to do more than I could ever ask or imagine. Because nothing is too wonderful for my God. And I'm wondering if you need to hear that this morning. I'm wondering if you individually, I'm wondering if we corporately need to hear that this morning. Because one day we'll be here without masks, and there will be a vaccine, and this will be in our rearview mirror. People will have t-shirts that they wear about it. But what will be our future? Because just a couple of weeks after the shutdown, we were supposed to have voted on the intent of adoption. What will our future be? I want you to know I've been in conversation with Pastor Brad at Cornerstone. We had a Zoom meeting this week. He's all about it. He's all about it. You know what I heard is that reopening for Cornerstone is like a new launch. It's actually creating a spirit of like pioneering. Like, we're part of a new launch, because each week they're seeing more people coming. And they know that through online worship, that they've been reaching people who are not a part of the Cornerstone family. And so Pastor Brad is all about adoption. Can you and I dream of that parking lot filled, not just for one service, but for two? Can you imagine, can you hear the voices of little children who are scampering about the lobby, maybe even getting in your way? A nursery that's filled, a fellowship hall for children's ministry that's just overflowing with little ones who are singing about the Lord, learning about being in the family of Jesus. Can you dream? Can you imagine that day? I can go there. Is anything too wonderful for our Lord? Count the stars, church. and question, struggle, wrestle, laugh, yes, and hear God say again, is anything too wonderful? And so Abraham comes amidst this invitation of trust from the God who says, I've got you now, I've got your future, I've got you. And Abraham believed. All right, God, I'm going to trust. Sarah and I are going to trust. That's what we're going to do. And that's our invitation. So would you pray with me? And as we're praying, would our music team come? Promise-making God. Pray with me. Promise-making God. I get Sarah's laughter. It's a laughter born of hardships and disappointments. Faith withers when life feels wrung dry and past its best use by date. For all who feel life has passed them by and find that faith comes hard, create through your Holy Spirit the laughter of love, the faith that your promises are true, and the hope that in Jesus the best is yet to come. Amen.